Welcome to another opportunity to study the Word of God with us today. We'll be looking at the Word now in just a moment, but before we do, let us bow our heads together for prayer and ask God to help us in our study of the Word this moment. Our God, we are grateful that we have the free access before the throne of grace that we do have today, and we ask that Thou wilt meet our individual needs as You see them to be. We do confess to You today that we are needy creatures, and You have promised to think upon the poor and the needy, and we ask You to do that very thing this day. Open the Word of God for us now, that we might be able to behold wondrous things out of Thy law, and we'll give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. We're studying together Matthew's Gospel, and we've come today to the third chapter. I would like for you to follow in your Bibles, if you will, as I read the first 12 verses of the chapter, which will be the basis of our study for this particular broadcast and one or two others. So we read from Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost, and he shall baptize you with fire, whose fan is in his hand. At that time he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the paragraph that we will begin to discuss with you in this lesson, and it's a very vital paragraph. I emphasize this. It's vital to us to recognize this passage of Scripture in its context, because individuals who do not do so, as the Savior said, mix new wine in old bottles, and in so doing create havoc in the interpretation of the Scripture. This portion of the Word of God has survived as much, if not more, poor interpretation than almost any other portion of the Word. And it survived. It's a portion of the Word of God that is used most frequently from most pulpits to bring little exhortations about the right kind of living. And though those exhortations are needed, the paragraph has much greater truth than that. I would like for you to fix the subject matter of the passage in your mind as we have looked at it, suggesting to you that in this passage of Scripture we have presented to us the man who is the forerunner, and the message which the man delivered. The man and the message. And I emphasize the man, for we're talking about an ordinary human being. Oh yes, the hand of God was upon him in a special way, as we shall see, but he was still an ordinary man. As we discuss this man, there will be two things made evident concerning him. One is, he is pictured in prophecy, and the other is, he is a powerful preacher. I think it would be wise for us to recognize, too, in these introductory remarks, that there is presented the message which this man delivered. That message has to do with three subjects, the importance of which, in understanding the Word of God in its entirety, cannot be measured. The forerunner speaks to us first concerning repentance. There is much misunderstanding about the subject of repentance. If I were to ask you to tell me exactly what repentance means, who is obligated to repent, and what areas repentance is essential, I wonder what kind of answers I would receive. The forerunner speaks to us not only of repentance, but he speaks to us on the subject of rejection. And when I speak of the subject of rejection, I speak not of the idea that most men have today, that one has the opportunity of accepting or rejecting Jesus Christ, but I speak to you of the fact that God rejects people. And that may sound a bit unusual to some. The third thing that will be discussed in this series is the subject of revelation. And here again, I speak not of the book, which is known by that name in the Word of God, but I speak of the revelation of Jesus Christ as John the forerunner gives that revelation in the Word of God. And it's a very interesting picture, shall we say, a very interesting revelation of who the Son of God is. Let us begin now, at this moment, to think concerning the man who is presented in this portion of the Word that we've read together. And the first thing that I would draw to your attention is that the man is pictured in prophecy. One thing that I have mentioned to you as we study the Gospels is that all of the story is not presented in one Gospel. From time to time, it's necessary to refer to the other Gospels to get the complete story. For example, notice the first phrase we want to look at here in Matthew chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Notice the phrase, in those days. Now, if this were the only portion of the story that we had, we might wonder what the phrase means. Is it just a general phrase, as some of us might use sometimes, saying, oh, sometime in the past I remember such and such a thing happened? Or is it a specific historical date? When you have the time, you read the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and you will find that the phrase, in those days, refers to a very definite historical point, a point in history, a point in time. Luke 3, verses 1 through 3 will reveal it was in the days when Tiberius Caesar was ruling Rome, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and when Herod was tetrarch of Galilee. It was as well, religiously speaking, in the days when Caiaphas and Annas were the high priests of Israel. In those days, there was not a greater need for repentance than in those days. No time in history needed a plea for repentance any more than in those days. And it might be wise for us to keep that in mind in relation to our own beloved nation. You can make the application for yourself. But one other thought. You go back to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3 and notice another little point that I would consider with you today. If I have some Baptist friends, and I have many of them, listening to the message, I trust that it will not upset you too much, and I trust that you won't take offense at what I'm going to say. But I want you to notice in verse 1 the phrase, John the Baptist. That's what I refer to sometimes in the King James text, and that's the text I use all the time, except others by way of comparison. That's what I call an unhappy translation. For actually, the phrase is not John the Baptist, and John wasn't the first Baptist, and the Baptist Church did not begin with John the Baptist. Actually, the phrase is John the Baptizer. John the Baptizer. It refers to the significant fact that John spent his ministry baptizing people according to the direction of God. And when we say that, we must think again about something that needs to be emphasized. You must not confuse the baptizing that John did with the baptizing that you as a believer are supposed to do with your converts. Do you see the reason that it's so important not to speak of John the Baptist, but to speak of John the Baptizer? John baptized, 'tis true, but his baptism is not to be confused with what we refer to as Christian baptism today. John baptized with the baptism of repentance to enable the Jews of his day who believed the message concerning the Messiah to publicly identify themselves with the message and separate themselves from the vast majority in Israel who were unbelievers. There is a similarity, I grant you, because when we are baptized in obedience to the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are publicly identifying ourselves with other members of the body of Christ. And this is something the Lord wants you to do. If you've neglected it, I beg of you to consider it would please the Lord if you would do it. Time's gone. Remember to pray for us today, and may God bless each one of you today.